Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am.
No, no, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with Todd.
You say funny thing.
What did I do? I feel like the laughter's on my account.
It probably was because you just coughed a hairball into your armpit while the opening music was playing.
That's how I get this lovely voice, boys. I got to cough a hairball, one shot of whiskey, and a cup of coffee, and it ends up like this. Smooth and creamy.
That's pretty true.
Smooth. That's not from the coffee.
Yeah, the creamy is. Yeah. Brad, stop.
We have troops.
I can't know our secrets.
You have troops in your mouth.
I do.
Speaking of troops, we have a special guest today.
We do.
Jason Roskam from the United States Marine Corps.
No.
He's going to disconnect from the Navy, yes.
He is a seaman, ladies and gentlemen. He is a seaman.
We're waiting for you to chime in and correct us. Yeah. Break it down.
No. Okay. I am Mr. Jason Roskam. I am a member of the United States Air Force.
Nice.
I've been serving since 1996. I'm a Bakersfield native, but I've been living in New Jersey pretty much since 1997. I'll give you a little bit of history of my military service because I think it's going to be relevant to this discussion today. I started off as a mechanic on the KC-10 aircraft. I did that for about 4 years. Then I was a mechanic on the KC-135.
What's a KC-10?
Yeah, KC-10 is an air-to-air refueling aircraft. Okay. It's the big tanker aircraft right. that has the penis sticking out the back, yes. connects to another aircraft, transfers fuel.
Yes.
Man, as soon as we weren't radio, you went for it. You got like 37 seconds into penis. You beat Brad. Mm.
37 seconds into penis?
Yeah. That was the name of Brent's autobiography.
Yeah. Mm. That'll be available on Amazon at the end of November.
And he's only read to page 60 on his own biography. Yeah.
And all proceeds, 10% of proceeds go to erectile dysfunction. So keep a lookout for that.
Okay. So the refueling ones.
So you're on the penis plane.
I did 4 years on the KC-10s, and then I did another 3 years as a mechanic on the KC-135. It's just a different type of air refueling aircraft.
So that one has a bigger penis?
It's actually got a smaller penis, unfortunately. Yeah, I downgraded. But after that, I went over to become an air crew member. I became a boom operator on the KC-135s, which that's the guy that controls the giant penis coming out of the back of the plane. I did that for 4 years. And then after that, the current job I'm doing now, I've been doing this for over 8 years. I am now a radio operator on the C-32 aircraft, which I can't really go into more detail than that. Just Google's a thing. You can look it up.
That's so awesome. you went from controlling the penis to being on the radio. It's awesome.
Correct.
See, nice. You're on the radio. You made it before us.
Yeah.
So needless to say, I've got a lot of experience in and around aircraft.
So today we're talking about chemtrails, the conspiracy theory around chemtrails. And we actually have a flying expert on our show with us.
But you're also an expert for other things such as your podcast. Do you want to give a shout out on those?
Yeah. I also do two podcasts. One's called Project VCR. VCR stands for Vintage Cinema Review. We go back and watch old movies, kind of look at them from a modern eye. Brent was on our last episode where we talked about Back to the Future 2.
Yeah, that was your worst episode.
No, you guys got a ton of hits on that one.
I'm sure. And I also do, for the super nerds out there, I also do a Magic the Gathering podcast called Higher Standards.
Yeah.
And both of those are on iTunes and all the other podcasting apps. So go take a look at those.
Nice.
Awesome.
So I wanted to hear everyone's opinion on chemtrails. So Brad, do you think chemtrails are real?
No.
Dave?
No.
I will stand alone.
Well,
we have a believer.
I'm assuming you're saying no.
Jason?
Hold on. They told me to read this. chemtrails are a myth. They do not exist.
So he's on our side. Okay.
So let's break down like what we're talking about here for those of you that don't know about chemtrails. So there's two things if you hit the Googles and look, you're going to see stuff talking about contrails and stuff talking about chemtrails. So people who don't think chemtrails exist do think contrails exist, I would imagine, because you can see them in the fucking sky when a plane flies by.
And you can see chemtrails too, for the record, you can see those.
But a contrail is up there, and the contrail is condensation of what, carbon dioxide and water vapor?
And a little bit of like, you know.
Well, it's when the heat from the engine meets the precipitation in the air.
Right.
It creates
ice crystals. Basically clouds. Little.
It's like when you walk outside in the winter and breathe.
Yeah.
Right.
It goes away quickly.
Right. Same thing.
Yeah. Because you got to remember, even in the summer, up there at 20, 30,000 feet, it's cold as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's definitely happening. So every time you see a jet, you see the trail behind it. Yep. That's a contrail. The conspiracy theory isn't about contrails, it's about chemtrails. And the theory on chemtrails is that for any number of reasons, the government, and most, and correct me if I'm wrong, most don't necessarily say the American government as much as sort of a worldwide,
more like United Nations
Illuminati
type of thing,
United Nations government is trying to do things globally with chemicals that are being dispersed through the wings of the jet planes that look like contrails, but they're actually big trails of chemicals that are being dispersed in the upper atmosphere. This is what the conspiracy theory is. So that's the contrail and that's the chemtrail. And I'm sure we'll get much more in depth into what the theories are about what the chemicals are, et cetera. But that's the basics of what we're talking about. The theory that on a large conspiratorial global scale, people are modifying airplanes to disperse chemicals for various effects into the atmosphere.
And let me get into this so that the listeners can draw their conclusion based on certain things that we're already doing. Did you guys research anything about cloud seeding?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we can kind of talk about that and then it'll lead into the chemtrailing. Right. And then you can kind of draw your own conclusion as far as that goes. So, but what I got on cloud seeding is that they're putting, basically a powdery substance called, silver iodide. If I'm saying that correctly.
Right.
Look
at his face.
Yeah. So what Jason's doing is putting silver iodide into the clouds to create precipitation is what cloud seeding is. And they can actually, kind of control hurricanes. And there's all kinds of like things that they're trying to do, but I heard that it wasn't, able to be done on a massive scale yet.
So the theory is basically that they are in an aerosol form dispersing these things for, like Dave said, many reasons. Some people think it's just to make it rain. Some people think it's to combat global warming. Some people think it's to put aluminum oxide.
But you're not talking about
cloud seeding
anymore.
Not
you're talking about chemtrails.
Like, like that they're doing it to poison you, and then it gets absorbed through the palate of the roof of your mouth, through your nostrils, and affects some crazy part of your brain to weed out the sick and the weak or something.
Yeah, and they're we're taking vaccines. Vaccines also makes us autistic.
Let me ask Jason, does the plane that you fly in leave a contrail?
At times it does, depending on temperatures and whatnot.
And what chemicals you have that you're putting out.
How long should the contrail persist? Do you see aircraft leave those? Is there a difference? What is the difference between an aircraft that leaves a contrail and a persistent contrail?
Well, let me rephrase that, Jason. What is the difference between an aircraft that leaves a contrail or a chemtrail?
Persistent contrail is the difference.
Well, one exists and one doesn't. There are a couple of different things you can look at. The contrails, if you Google it, it'll say it's because of, you know, what Dave said, the heat change, the ice, making all the condensation. Another thing that people see that they kind of confuse with this is just straight up engine exhaust. Whereas a lot of the planes that I've dealt with in the past are old ass airplanes, like the KC-135s that I used to work on and fly on. Those were built in the 50s and were built with engines that were not really economical or really cared much about the environment.
Well, that makes
and how
you
much
feel
exhaust
safe
they put out
up in the air when your plane's just smoking away.
Well, since you're a fuel, you delivered fuel. What does the fuel in that type of aircraft consist of that it's burning? Is it, it's not like a diesel based fuel. Is it more of an alcohol based fuel?
Jet fuel.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. At that base, is it more alcohol-based? It's higher than gasoline, right?
I've never really done research into
just
that.
Just following your orders, huh? Just pumping it out. See, you don't know. So because the reason I ask, I think jet fuel is a higher alcohol base, burns cleaner.
Unleaded like kerosene. Yeah. So it's like a diesel, more of a diesel fuel.
Is that what it says?
Yeah, I'm reading it right now. That's what it says.
And there are a bunch of different types of jet fuel too, depending on the type of aircraft, the type of engines.
Yeah.
So there are different levels and everything else.
But have you ever been in an aircraft that you're on that leaves that trail that we see across the sky?
Yeah,
and it stays
you can see
all day.
It forming over the wings.
Right.
But it's tough because if you're in the back doing work, you obviously can't see it. And
you're leaving
if you see
behind.
It forming over the wings, you can't look behind you. There's no rear view mirror to see like what kind of a trail you're leaving.
So you don't know. That's just what we want to make sure. You don't actually know if it's staying there. I'm just saying.
Wow.
It could still be there.
Wow.
And we on the ground could see it, even though you're up close.
And Brent wants to know what the chemical tanks that you guys were dumping out of the back of the fuel plane. What did they say on the chemical tanks?
Poison.
Radioactive.
Crossbones.
Did it have like a radioactive sign? Did it have like a, you know, kills babies? You know, what type of warning did it have?
Starting to think you guys had some sort of agenda bringing me on the show this week.
The tanks just say Illuminati.
Illuminati.
That's my new album. Illuminati.
It's not me. I'm fully in support of non-chemtrails. I think that the logical, if you think about it logically, which is kind of the conclusion I've drawn on any of these conspiracy theories. I'm not saying they're crazy because it could be, but if you think about it logically, like, a plane leaving an exhaust trail or a contrail. I mean, that's what they do. They've done it ever since they were created. And it's just something that happens from the motor and the fuel and everything else. But I mean, people make up these crazy stories about everything.
The claim is that prior to 1996, that these didn't exist. I don't remember this guy being fooled out, but I was a little kid too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not observant.
We were looking up.
Yeah.
I didn't care. I wasn't looking up. But it does seem to me that when you go outside, the sky is striped. Now, I know that they have made advancements in fuel and they have what's called metallized fuels where they add aluminum oxide and there's like three oxygen molecules to two aluminum molecules. And when it burns off, it leaves a nanoparticle trail of aluminum oxide. So that does occur. There's no arguing that there are metallized fuels.
Yeah.
It happens. So maybe, you know, at the end of this, we'll see, but maybe there's not a conspiracy to spray and crop dust the population of the world with aluminum to block out the sun's rays or do whatever, but they are
maybe
burning aluminum. And maybe that's the thing that has changed is the fuel additives or the jet engine technology or whatever.
Sure.
And now it looks, that makes sense. It could change. However, there are historical events dating back to the 50s and even just like Vietnam. There's something called Project Popeye. Have you guys ever heard of that?
Mm-hmm. No. Popeye the Sailor Man.
Project Popeye was a United States military cloud seeding operation in the Vietnam War, which extended and enhanced a monsoon season over Laos. It caused landslides on roadways and washed out river crossings. And it went on from 1967 to 1972 and was considered a success. So that is historical, you know, unclassified.
Yeah, but that could have been cloud seeding.
Look at this look on his face. Look at that, buddy.
No,
if
I'm just
on
saying.
On Google, it's true.
I'm just saying, like, they were having a spinach shortage in the area, and so that's why they called it Popeye.
Well, they actually had to, because of a result of that Vietnam thing, they started something, the Environmental Modification Convention, where they had to prohibit any type of military action that used any type of environmental modification techniques.
Yeah.
So there's an international treaty to defend against that type of action.
Yeah.
So we know that they can cloud seed. We know that there's aluminum in the fuel.
But cloud seeding is totally different from chemtrails though.
Right.
So I think
target practice is different than killing deers, but they both use a gun and a bullet. That's all I'm saying.
Not necessarily.
The technology exists. Right.
Yeah.
So,
but the cloud seeding can't be done on a massive scale though. Like
not to cover
the entire United States.
No, but they might strategically cover areas. You know what I mean?
I'll ask you guys this. Have any of you ever flown like near or through a thunderstorm?
Yes.
Yes.
I closed my eyes, but I was in
Yes.
it.
Brent won't even watch a scary movie. So
if you do, it's essentially like hitting a brick wall, which is why airliners try every means necessary to avoid them.
Right.
Because the clouds are so thick and so condensed with the moisture and everything else that when you go even near one, you get bounced around like crazy. And God forbid you ever go through one because it's a nightmare.
Yeah, odds are I've been near one, but not through one.
And there is no way possible that an aerosol can from a single airplane can cause anything
as massive,
nearly as thick as that. You would have to have 1,000 airplanes all flying side by side, all emitting a very thick cloud of gas to maybe, hopefully, see something like that.
What if you had a dense aluminum oxide that was heavier than the atmosphere, though, and they went above that cloud line? Like, what's the, I don't know what the altitude is that you guys cruise at or what they would do. They could go above the clouds and drop it down on it, right? Salt shaker?
You would have to have the amount of chemicals you would have to have on this airplane would exceed the cargo capacity and everything else. It's this is all stuff I was planning on getting into later, but
we're doing it now.
That's what we do.
We're doing it right now. We're 12 minutes and 23 seconds into madness.
16 minutes and 19 seconds. Thank you.
The amount of chemicals that you would need to cause any kind of even heavy rainstorm, not even thunderstorms, just like heavy rain would just be more than any amount of aircraft could handle.
Yeah, how do you know the quantity of chemicals? I know you fly in planes, but how do you know what quantity of chemicals might be needed to seed a cloud? Seems like you have some information.
Well, let me stop it there because Brent obviously doesn't understand that the chemtrails that you're seeing in the air are not creating clouds. Like they're just a trail, a small trail. There might be 50 of them in the sky, but it doesn't make anything dense enough to
it causes
to do
a
anything.
Hazy cloud cover. NASA has actually had to make new classifications and new naming conventions for these types of cloud formations that didn't exist prior. Now, whether it's because of the modification of the fuels or the technology of the new jet engines, it is actually, that's a known fact.
Well, and
NASA
have,
had to classify these new cloud formations.
And you have so many fucking more planes flying around in the air than we used to 10, 15, 20, right. 30, 40, 50 years ago.
I'm still not saying that it's the evil thing. I'm just trying to state as much historical facts
no,
that
and
say
that's,
that
and
these
that,
things
and
exist.
That's fine.
Right?
You can speak all the bullshit you want.
I'll
but
keep it.
I'm just saying.
And
like,
really, these can barely even be considered clouds. It's more of a haze.
Right.
Yeah. It's, yeah, they don't come together and form any kind of a cell or anything that can actually dispense any amount of rain. It's very light clouds. It's just more of a haze.
Think about the hell that that a fog delay causes. Like every school has to go 2 hours late because there's a light haze of fog.
Well, they
drop down
we're
visibility.
Pussies.
It blocks out all the sunlight and it's just a thin layer of water mist. And that's assuming that what the purpose of the cloud is. You know, when all those lines dissipate, they do make a thin film, but maybe the metal oxide or the aluminum oxide or the iodide or whatever's in there is reflecting light. It might be serving some purpose that we don't understand, you know, scientifically.
It doesn't cover a big enough area, though.
So, Jason, you're saying that you don't think that just the basic technique of cloud seeding actually works and is viable?
No, there's no way that can work on a massive enough level to create any kind of a rainstorm or a thunderstorm or anything to that effect. It's just you would need so much of this chemical and so many of these planes all in the same spot dispensing this stuff. It's
I don't know how you're basing that off of because you don't know what quantity of chemical has to enter a cloud.
Well, neither do you. I mean, you're saying that it's true.
I'm just saying that historically they said they did it in Vietnam. So, and I'm going to read one more. In October of 2009, China's Air Force used a variety of chemicals to clear smog from the air for a parade celebrating their 60th anniversary of the Communist China. The day before the parade, chemicals were dispersed in the sky that caused a light rain and cleared the fog to make sure that they could have that parade. So this is known. In 2009, they did it. And they later bragged about that only a handful of countries in the world could organize such a large-scale magic-like weather modification.
That's not weather modification.
They made it rain. That's weather modification.
How do you know they made it rain? They cleared the smog.
A light rain cleared the smog.
Well, how do you know they did that? It could have just rained.
Yeah.
It's there.
I mean,
they said they did it. I don't know.
There's coincidences. I mean, I don't know. Like, that just doesn't seem. And that's a small area, too, probably for a parade.
I don't know. It just says, and then they were quoted to say after the government said, we won't miss any opportunity for artificial precipitation since they were suffering from a drought, so that they employ that technique on the reg, apparently.
Hmm. See, I don't know. I would think that if governments had the ability to control weather, make it rain, so to speak, that we would know about it and they would
tell us everything and we know about everything that they do.
Well, okay.
Well, I don't know that they would tell us about it, but it seems like if the government could make it rain, that we wouldn't be in a
drought.
Epic $1 trillion drought in the state of California.
Who knows what their motivation. Who knows what their motivation?
Who knows the modifications of rectifiers?
Mount McKinney.
Yep.
Aquifers. Who knows what their motivation is? I don't know. There might be something that they're benefiting from by making a drought. I don't know. I'm not saying they are.
And that could be a possibility, but I don't even believe in, well, I don't think that we're the cause of global warming either. Like everybody, oh, well, it's all the stuff we're doing. It's causing global warming. I think that's just how the earth is. Like it gets cold, it gets hot. It's a circle. It's the environment.
So is life, man. It's all a circle, bro.
I find that interesting coming from a California person because you're not really supposed to taste the air when you go outside.
Yeah.
Have you looked outside at the horizon in Nashville? Yeah,
it's nice brown, a nice brown hue.
Sometimes it's clear. It's clear sometimes.
I after they the rain seed a cloud, it's clear.
Yeah, that's fine.
When they give us a little, So I got one more. Russia used weather modification in 2009. It says Moscow publicly promised that they would keep it from snowing in the city, using the Russian Air Force to spray chemicals into storm clouds before they reached the capital, causing them to release the snow early outside of the city. The reason that they did that is because the constant snow plow of the streets was a financial burden, and it cost half as much money to cause it to snow early outside of the city than it would to actually employ the plows and do it. It cost $6 million for the Air Force operation that they implemented to keep it from snowing. It was for a specific event. Apparently, I didn't make note of that. Victory Day, and City Day parades, which is a big deal for them that they had planned. But
so these parades are just making like weather modifications.
Rain
crazy.
On your parade, man. Dude, let's look at China and Russia parades. Like, that shit's legit. Yeah. Like, I try to argue with James about marching. Like, we got nothing on marching formations on those fools. They take that's an important thing to them.
Yeah, they do got some crazy marches going on over there. Legs akimbo, arms swinging through the air. Yeah,
Britney Spears choreography's got nothing on China's march.
What source is this coming from, too, is what I want to know.
The internet, it's true.
Oh, my God. No website named.
Well, I waited for Fox News to say it, but it never came up.
Right.
I'll get sources for you if you want. It's probably Wikipedia, though.
No, they can't afford to feed their own people, but they can make
spend
it stop
$6 million, snowing. Yeah. And why would they do snow plows? Like,
What do you mean?
Why do they need to do snow plows?
They should have used a space laser and melted it.
Like they're actually caring about their people is what I'm asking. Like
they went out on parade. They're trying to show
my question is, I mean, if the technology exists and if governments can do that, if you can spend $6 million to make it snow at X target instead of Y target, then why aren't we spending $6 million to keep a hard frost from hitting Kern County and doing $20 million worth of citrus damage? If we could spend $6 million to slightly change the course of a storm front or to add a cloud layer, why wouldn't
This is why. It's because for one, you assume that the government has the people's best interest.
I'm not even saying the government. If that information exists, companies know about it.
Then my next follow-up to that is
third party
because everybody's
that.
Not okay with us spraying nanoparticles of aluminum oxide. They don't even want hormones in their milk to make. The technology to make more milk from a cow, but we don't want to do that because people are freaking out.
The other thing is you're either going to die because we have no food because we're going to be in a drought. And
they got food.
The one thing that makes sense about chemtrails, if you're thinking about them being real, is that you would modify the weather for the benefit of the farms to be able to produce food and not get the harsh frosts and actually create rain.
They don't want aluminum sprayed on them. People are not going to go with that.
You got something?
No, he's just scratching his eyebrow.
But even if they could still do it and not tell us.
Right.
And
that's called chemtrails.
Preserve the crops and everything else.
No, they don't have your best interest in mind. Like, do you think they have their best?
But see, it's all about the money. As we've talked about before, government is all about the money. So saving these crops and allowing these farmers to earn more money and pay more taxes, that's in the government's best interest.
Yeah. Maybe not. Maybe there's some weird Monsanto thing where they're going to make waterproof plants. I don't know. You know what I mean? They subsidize most of the crops. They're paying for those crops. Maybe those crops dies. They don't pay for that. You know, I don't know. The more control they have, maybe they can have complete control of the system.
It just seems like it went from, there was chemtrail planes, and these planes are specifically made to do chemtrails, and there's no passengers on them and all this stuff, and they're flying all these patterns, to where that's disproved. So now the Monsanto's helping out the jet fuel companies, and
how was that disproved? That wasn't disproved.
There's no evidence.
There's lions no in the sky. Evidence. There's hundreds of hours of footage from
of lions in the sky
of planes dispersing weird things and in patterns and in bursts and them not going away.
Who's it put on there by somebody who believes?
Let's look at the chemtrails more closely, because I mean I don't think we've really said a lot.
And I have a bunch of like water sample stuff.
Yeah, I mean we need to look at what the theories are, what the evidence is of the chemtrails. So to my knowledge, the whole thing really came about in 1996. And it started because the Air Force wrote a report, and the report was talking about how they were theoretically going to change the weather, be able to do so on a weaponized or civilian basis by the year 2025.
And that's an Air Force document.
It's an Air Force document. Came out in 96. Okay. But
I don't dispute that.
But it's not the year 2025.
Right.
So that's to kind of counter the...
If you're going to make something, you didn't just like go to the moon. You have an Apollo program, right?
Their goal was 2025.
Go to the moon anyway.
That's not where we are. So that was why people point to 96 as the moment of cloud seeding, because that was when this...
Yeah, but that's not even an argument that it's not 2025. Like, you have to have a progress, right? You have to make your way there. You have to walk up the stairs. You just think they're going to wait and like, ta-da, curtains, 2025, rain. Like, they have to figure it out and do it and implement it and test it, right? You don't have to wait for 2025 for that to be true.
No, you do, right, but you were... Oh, go ahead.
It's like Brad said, too. They have tried things like this before, but they have not been able to do it on a massive scale. And that's one of the same things I came across.
Yeah, and there was no... I wasn't disputing, like, the cloud seeding. That is a real thing.
Right.
And but they've acknowledged they can't do it on a major scale.
I don't understand why a major scale is an argument. Like, so what? Okay, they don't do it on a major scale.
Because
they
do we're talking the entire United States.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, like, if they did it, and I'll be honest, like, I'm being passionate, but it's because it's 3-1. I have to keep my defense.
That's fine.
But
I understand.
I'm just trying to establish that the technology exists. It has been done.
Yeah.
That Russia admits doing it. China admits doing it. We admit doing it. I've got a thing from 1950. The British government did it. It was called Project Cumulus, and they did it during wartime to try to cause a major flood and flood out bridges. Yeah. The British have done it. So we know that the technology exists. The reason is like, are we doing it? I didn't say on a large scale.
But being able to create it in my a cloud in my backyard that will rain condensation that I can get clean water from is totally different than doing it over my whole neighborhood.
I think
you know what I mean? Like, I mean,
they did it over Moscow. I'm just saying it's available on these scales that I'm claiming. I'm not claiming anything outside of large scale, but large scale would just be more planes.
Yeah, and you're just believing the written, though. I mean, like, anybody could say anything.
But I have evidence. You have no evidence. You just have your opinion and argument. That's the difference.
But you're reading somebody else's opinion.
Right. That's all documentation. No, that's a historical. It's an opinion. That's a documented historical event.
From who?
The British government, the Chinese government, the Russian government, and the American government.
Those are papers from them.
Which papers do you have saying no from who?
I'm just saying. Which papers do you have saying that actually is, are they from the actual government stating that that happened?
We'll pull up sources, I guess, but I have something. I know, but you have nothing.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I still have research saying my side.
I have research saying that it's not true.
You don't? What do you have?
I have something right here. It's just disproving everything.
What, the something right here sounds like a lot less than all the things I've read you.
All the things right here in front of me are the same as all the things that are in front of you.
He didn't say anything, though.
You haven't either.
Mine's recorded. We can look back. So
I am.
I'm
going to take
for
everything
it,
foreign governments say with a grain of salt, because the Iraqi government said they won the first Gulf War. So,
oh, they did do that.
Governments can claim anything they want. And
if we're going by who spent the most money, or you know, if we're trying to spend less money on the war, they beat us. So, because we definitely spent more.
So, Dave, talk about your geoengineering or
I just want to look at more of the. I just want to look at more of the claims that the chemtrail people are making, and I don't have a ton. I know that, and we've mentioned it briefly here before. People are claiming that the vehicles now are producing these trails, whereas they didn't used to.
Right.
And like you said, it could be fuel additives. People are claiming that civilian craft in certain conditions will release contrails that last seconds or minutes, but that they have evidence that military craft lay plumes that last for hours. And they claim that it's that is more indication that the military is the one dropping this.
Jason's doing it.
And then there's also a bit that I read, and there's all the conspiracy theorists specifically say that the chemicals barium, aluminum salts, which are delicious, polymer fibers, thorium, silicon carbide are what is being seeded into the atmosphere. And they say these chemicals specifically because apparently EPA inspectors from all over the place have suddenly found high levels of these chemicals in places that are indicative of a wide aerial dispersal, not just a leak, not just something like that.
Right.
Yeah. So those are the evidences that I've seen, to which I think there are a lot of strong counterarguments. But Jason, do you have any specific thoughts on any of those arguments?
Yes. Specifically the one you were talking about where they found chemical samples and all that. I'd heard that there was an actual news story that broke about that was later debunked, but all the YouTubers and all these conspiracy theorists still hold on to that false information that was put out there.
Right.
So, and the thing with them lasting hours or minutes, it depends on the moisture content in the air, right? There, if it's extremely dry, a plane might not leave a contrail at all. If it's moist in the air, it can leave a contrail that can last hours.
The people were saying they were observing multiple planes in a row, and they were saying in the same atmospheric conditions on the same day at the same altitude, these civilian aircrafts were just leaving regular small contrails.
How do they know what altitude they were at?
How do they know if they're civilian or military?
That's a good question.
In the sky.
Yeah. I mean, and that's
30,000 feet away.
Yeah.
You know, there's an app that'll tell you the location of every plane and every flight time and where they're at their expected time. There's an app for that now.
Probably just the commercial planes, though.
Yeah, but they know if it's commercial, and if it doesn't show a commercial plane, then you'd have to
say it's probably Russian.
It must be Russian or Chinese. Yeah.
So, I mean,
I might be wrong here, but Jason, I'm assuming that the military craft would have significantly different engines than the civilian craft.
Sometimes.
So, just making this distinction between a civilian and, I mean.
Yeah, the military ones are older, like he already said, they're from the 50s. And then the commercials are probably newer, so they have a more efficient.
I was dubious of that. Even if there was factually, yes, that's a civilian, that's a military craft, they're at the same altitude, it's the same day with the same weather conditions. It's not the same weather conditions, they're always morphing. But B, it's going to be a completely different engine. Even within five civilian planes, you're going to have different engines, different amounts of fuel.
Exactly.
I'm trying to yell. I'm getting all crazy and yell, but all I'm trying to establish is that there have been public claims of that type of action and technology, and that we know there are metallized fuels, and there are samples. I got Francis Mangles. He's been with the U.S. Forestry Service. He's a biologist for 35 years. He did an independent study of rain sample analysis. In the early 2000s, rain samples showed levels of aluminum in 100 micrograms. There shouldn't be aluminum in the rain at all. So that's 100 micrograms in the year 2000.
Well, how do we know that, though? I mean, this is the Earth. It's made out of metals.
Because prior to the year 2000, there was no micrograms of aluminum in the Earth. He's a biologist for 35 years.
Maybe the Earth changed.
Okay, well, I'm just showing what data shows. So in 2010, levels showed microgram measurements in the 1,000 range. Up in 10 years from 100 to 1,000. And in 2013, his latest samples of rain samples, not hitting the ground, not pulling it up from a puddle in the dirt, rain sample collection showed 13,100 micrograms of aluminum. And it's of free aluminum, not the normal bonded aluminum that you find in the environment.
So I wonder I'm not saying chemtrails are putting it into the air, but however the aluminum is getting into the air, I wonder if that's actually creating and not preventing global warming.
Who knows?
Because there could be some sort of
environmental effect.
If there is that type of aluminum in the air, it could be reflecting the heat down to us. No?
I'm really trying to prove is that regardless of if it's the government twisting a mustache and turning on the mist trail on their plane, aluminum is in the atmosphere and becoming present in our water and in the rain. On top of Mount Shasta, they did a test and it was 61,000 micrograms per liter, four times the amount that's found in the soil there. So, and that was in 2013. There's aluminum there for some weird reason.
Right. And you'd mentioned the whole global warming thing. As I was doing research for this, I tried to go into it with an open mind and I wanted to know why these people thought the government was doing this. And one of the biggest things that I saw was ways to stop global warming, either by injecting sulfur into the atmosphere for some reason, creating clouds to block out the sun to make the earth cooler, which I thought was completely ridiculous. And like you said, the aluminum to kind of reflect sun rays off of them and back out of the atmosphere. And all of this is just sounds kind of ridiculous because these aircraft are creating pollution, creating, if you believe it, the global warming effects. So yeah. It just kind of seems like
it's kind of counteractive.
I think it's a Diet Coke and a Snickers bar.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point, Jason. I mean, like they're up there preventing global warming while creating it. I mean, it's a weird.
The other thing you have to keep in mind is if you do end up with like this global shield around the Earth to help prevent global warming, then you turn the Earth into a horrible place, just like in Highlander 2. Perhaps the worst movie ever made.
Plus, even if you can create a cloud deck, it's still not stopping the sun's rays and the heat from the sun from penetrating the Earth. It's just kind of a little bit stopping in the clouds, but it's still hitting our atmosphere. Our atmosphere is tens of thousands, of feet higher than typical cloud decks.
Well, and whenever it's cloudy, like if you go to the beach and it's overcast, you always get a worse sunburn.
That's true.
It's worse when it's cloudy.
The UV gets through, and it would lock it in.
It basically amplifies the sun's rays.
Well, but the UV gets through, but the heat still.
It's not that it amplifies the rays. It's that it's like sunglasses that aren't polarized. Like it would block your eyes, make you think it's dark, your pupils dilate, and then it lets the bad stuff in. So
I mean,
you get a false representation. It's not hot outside.
A global cloud cover would, I mean, that's the whole theory of a nuclear winter. It's like if there was a nuclear war and all the bombs dropped, there would be even if you look at like when Calcutta erupted, there was what they called like a miniature ice age, because for a couple of summers, like the sun wouldn't come out even in the summer because there was so much obstruction in the sky from what the volcano kicked into the air. So, I mean, there's tons of evidence that a lot of cloud cover does drastically reduce the heat on a global scale. But the question is, can we get that volume of material by secretly dumping stuff out of airplanes?
And that's assuming they're doing that. Yeah, I don't know that what their agenda is, and I don't claim to,
Let me stop there though, because I want to talk about some of the other agendas. Because if you look into what the chemtrail people say, the number one thing is they say it's there to change weather, whether it's there to sort of covertly stop global warming or whether there's an even more evil Illuminati that's trying to cause global warming. They think that changing the weather is one of the main things that the chemtrails might be involved in. They also think similarly that it's there to block solar radiation, but they also think it might just be them practicing or performing chemical warfare. They might be doing human population control, though I'm not sure how. And they might just be pumping out mind control or apathy drugs that we're all breathing in, and it's altering our behaviors or it's altering our abilities to have sex or desire sex. Or there's a whole lot of Did you guys read reasons for the chemtrails?
No, that was kind of. I actually had a couple more than I came across.
I have a statement from a Dr. Hamid Rabbi. He's a neurologist, and he said in the last 5 years he has seen a measurable increase in Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and things like autism. Aluminum has been known to trigger all of those, and there are clearly higher environmental levels of aluminum. He said in the 70s, which I think we might have covered this during our vaccine thing.
Yeah.
So there was 1 in 100,000 people had autism. 1 in 48 boys now have it. So whether that's chemtrails or vaccines or GMOs, there are clearly environmental markers that have changed and increased. We just don't know what to blame it on, but people are sick and sick more often.
And it's not necessarily that they're sick more often. I mean, we discussed this before. Did they not just diagnose it back, earlier in the 80s and 70s and 60s? It wasn't caught as much, maybe because they didn't know what it was. Doctors weren't informed. You know what I mean? Now they have all these things out. ADHD kids, I'm sure in the 80s, there was tons of kids with ADHD. I had it. I couldn't focus on anything. I was never diagnosed with ADHD.
Right.
Went to doctors, went to psychiatrists, all kinds of stuff. But now kids, if they can't sit at their desk, they have ADHD. And now there's 50,000 of them out of school because nobody disciplines their kids, they have ADHD. Or because of chemtrails. Yeah, they're just getting this aluminum oxide and now they're retarded.
And there is one other chemtrail thing. It was my favorite chemtrail thing, which is they think that
Al Gore.
No. The chemtrails are seeding the atmosphere with electrically conductive materials so that they can make the sky more HAARP effective. And HAARP is the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, which is supposed to be, we'll talk about it in some future date, a giant base up north that is supposed to control electricity or create earthquakes or change the weather or brainwash us or create free electricity or some other weird random HAARP.
Okay, thing. Now I believe that. Now we're
there
talking.
We go. Now we're almost there. We got two more. Let's go, Brad. Now me and you focus on Dave. I'll focus on Jason.
All right, Dave, you're a fucking retard, okay? Listen here.
I read something from MIT that says MIT was talking about toxicity-resistant crops and that Monsanto was working on. And I don't know. I didn't look into this real deep. Aluminum-resistant seeds and crops due to soil contamination, there seems to be a market or need for toxic-resistant crops for metals. So if Monsanto is working on a seed, it exists. Once again, aluminum's a problem. So
yeah, but it's in the ground also.
Naturally, not at these levels at all. You know
and
what I mean?
Not like, this type.
And correct? Not that type. Most of the type that they're finding that the argument is normally in the environment you find bonded aluminum because when it sits there, other elements hit it and it bonds to the other molecules. This is like a manufactured free pure form of aluminum. It's free aluminum. Mm. Go ahead, Jason. I know you want to say something.
Okay, so can we kind of focus on the they of this? Because you say they are spraying all these chemicals. Right. They are doing this. They are doing that. let me break this down and based on my experience. So this may be a little long-winded, so bear with me.
Go do it.
This might be a little over your head, Brent. Go ahead, Jason.
If any of this were true, this would have to be a conspiracy on such a massive level that there is no way they could possibly keep a lid on this. Okay, so let me break this down. First, it would have to start with the design of the aircraft because you cannot just throw an aerosol can. You can't just strap an aerosol can onto a plane and just have it spray crap through certain portions of the flight. Engineering has to go into this, construction and everything else. So you've got Boeing, who is one of the major producers of military aircraft. And I'm just talking military. We're not talking if you bring in civilian aircraft into the picture. Boeing employs 162,000 people, all of which are part of the process of designing and building aircraft, be it the engineers that actually come up with the design and make sure the aircraft can actually fly. It can be aerodynamic. You've got the people that work in the factories that actually put it together. You've got, there's a company called L3 Communications. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it. But they're a contracting company that the Air Force and the military has a contract with where every couple of years, almost every single plane in the fleet will go down to one of the L3 locations, gets completely stripped down to its wires and completely rebuilt, which is why planes that were built in the 50s and 60s can keep flying because they take them down to these depot maintenance locations, completely rip them up, completely check all the structure and everything and put them all back together. L3 employs 48,000 people. Then you've got members of the government, the politicians who would have to know about this at whatever different levels, be it, maybe it goes up to the president, maybe it doesn't. So you're already dealing with hundreds of thousands of people. Then you've got the air crew members themselves, guys like me, guys like the pilots that would have to flick on the switch to dispense chemicals now. You've got the maintainers, the guys who see every inch of these aircraft whenever they break or even sometimes when they don't. The Air Force has tens of thousands of maintainers. All of these people would have to be implicit in this conspiracy. And you're talking hundreds of thousands of people and not a single person since whenever this whole conspiracy came about, 96 or whatever, has come forward saying, yes, this exists. Yes, I've seen evidence of this. The level of conspiracy at work here is just larger than anything possible that they could ever keep a lid on.
Let me add to that, Jason, the fact that that's only in the United States.
And right, most that's only people, the United States, only the military.
Most and if people you go, claim if, that this conspiracy is global, so you would have that level in every single major country.
Yeah, and just in the United States, if you go by those numbers, if you go back to the 50s or whatever, that's millions of people.
I don't think the United States thing's an argument. Does China have a nuclear weapon? Does Russia have nuclear weapons? Do they have secret projects? We don't know, right? They kept it a secret? Okay. So then that's not an argument.
Some theorists say that it is more of a global conspiracy, a multi-government conspiracy. So, and I'm just talking United States.
But I'm just saying, Russia's going to keep their secret. China's going to keep their own secrets.
I'm saying our next president, President Putin, will absolutely tell us what they're doing in the weather modification. So this is going to be, he's going to be an upfront guy and let us know what's happening. So we'll find out soon.
Well, I have a question for Jason. So are there high priority planes that are top secret that you don't know about?
Well, then
No. I know you have a certain level. Yeah, you don't know.
I mean, well, you could talk about, like, you can look at history, like the B-2, the stealth bomber.
Right.
Nobody knew about that for years. They announced that we had that, what, in the 80s when they had built that in the 60s. So yeah, it does exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Lockheed or whoever made it and the airmen and all the people that you just listed kept it a secret for 10 years.
This was a small fleet, too.
Yes. This was a fleet of like 20 to 30 planes.
Still could be 20 to 30 chemtrail planes, though, yeah? No one said it has to be a big fleet. You guys keep large scaling it. I'm talking about just the United States.
Like, you have to understand, like, think about the air, all the air that is up in our atmosphere.
Right.
You would have to release so much chemicals up there for it to not just, like, dissipate and become nothing.
I don't know, when there's clouds over Bakersfield, it rains in Bakersfield, right?
On a huge scale, though.
How many square miles are each of those clouds?
It's not necessarily raining on the east side when it's raining in the southwest. It's like, hey, is it raining over there? Nope. Oh, well, it's going to be in a little while.
If you did one little trail over the clouds, like, that's not nothing.
I just don't think the technology, like you said, the engineering that has to go into it. You give me $1 million, 10 planes, and I'll go to fucking Harbor Freight with a 50-gallon drum, a submersible pump, and some fucking garden misters, and I'll blow it out the back of the plane at 25,000 feet. It's still coming out.
Yeah, but that's not high tech. If I shit in my toilet, Dave on the east side is not going to smell it.
That's a Brad comment. Brought to you by Sofa King Podcast.
I'm just saying.
It has nothing to do with anything.
Yes, it does.
I want to know what these magical chemicals are that you talk about that you just spray like a little ounce and it creates a big rainstorm.
Once again, I don't know. I'm just saying it's entirely plausible. I'm just arguing to the fact that it's not that high tech. It's a mister. It's aerosol out of the back. You keep saying like it's a rattle can from Krylon. Like on a duct tape to a plane.
It doesn't matter if they dump. Like Jason said, there can't be enough chemical on a plane to affect it on that scale.
Where are you basing a quantity? How do you know what's enough?
I mean, it just.
Well, obviously, not one aerosol can sprayed into the atmosphere is not going to do anything. I don't care if this is the most magical substance on the face of the earth.
No, but apparently hairspray will deplete the ozone from old ladies spraying their shit in their bathroom, right?
Well,
we have to change all the hairspray cans in the world because it was depleting the ozone. And it was just hairspray cans in old ladies' hands.
That's what was said, though. But people need to make money.
I think we're having problems with a volume issue. If you're picturing 10 old ladies doing their hair, you're not fucking with the atmosphere. But if you're picturing aerosol cans in every use in America from when they were invented in the 40s until the 1970s, right, and the massive volume of ozone in the manufacturing of, in the spraying of, that's when you're talking about a different, that's a massive volume.
How much weight can a military cargo plane carry?
Depends on the plane.
A big one carries a tank or something.
The KC-135s that I used to fly on, those, the maximum gross weight was about 450,000 pounds.
So liquid is generally 8 pounds per gallon. So you could carry a lot of gallons, right? How many gallons of fuel's in that thing?
We do it by pounds. Like the max amount of pounds of fuel those could hold was about 150,000.
So if 8 pounds for liquid, you could carry a lot of some type of liquid substance.
You could, but that also brings another person into the whole conspiracy process. You would have to have the chemical manufacturers and distributors, the guys that get all this stuff to the military.
It's the government. They could have a place making it. I don't know. I'm just arguing.
The government doesn't do anything. The government contracts everything out. The government doesn't do anything themselves.
Well, let me say,
we've got an idea. You do this for us.
Let me say one thing about volumes, and this is water volumes, not air volumes. But I had read, because one theory is that as global warming continues, the salinity in the ocean is changed. It's not a theory. As global warming continues, the salinity in the ocean is getting weaker because the mass amounts of glaciers that are melting are reducing the salinity, right, and the salinity is changing the thermohaline circulations. So it's making weather patterns different because the water patterns are different. Etc. Right. So one thing that I read said that there's a theory that if they could salt the ocean in certain places over the Marianas Trench where it would pick up and go through the whole ocean, that they could add enough saline to counterbalance it and try to calm storms down. But they said that it would take a fleet of 5,000 super tankers a year constantly dropping salt in the ocean to add enough salinity to change the current.
Right.
Yeah.
That is a fucking inconceivable volume to change the ocean. And I would have to argue that you would need a similarly inconceivable amount to change the atmosphere above us.
As a whole, but for temporary little spurts, you know what I mean? You have a cloudy day. Like, if it depends on, once again, what their intention is of the experiment, the action, what they're trying to do. Like, maybe they're just running experiments to see what the effect is on weather when they do it in small batches in uniform areas for strategic weaponizing defense. I'm just throwing things out here. I don't know.
But I don't think it would have took them since the 50s, though, to figure that out.
Then that just means the technology is easy if you don't think that. You know what I mean? Like, there could be any reason that they're doing it. I don't know.
Well, I just think that, like, everybody thinks these planes are flying around all over all day, all night. Like, I think the military and people would know, like, hey, why are we flying around on these empty planes with a bunch of liquid?
Find stuff out later, though, that, like, oh my God, they did that? Like, okay, that constantly happens.
I agree with that. Yeah. I mean, I know that. And I'm not saying it's entirely not possible, but just from my point of view, I just don't see how it is. Like, it's like Dave's talking about the massive scale of doing this. Like, I mean, it's just, inconceivable to think about.
Assuming that their goal is a large volume, though.
Well, I understand it would be
short-lived.
I mean, who cares if you can do it over a 10 square foot, box? Like, nobody cares. Like, you
want to be able to. That might be huge if it disrupts some type of pattern.
I think Brent does make a good point. I think when I'm looking at the idea of most of the conspiracy theories that I read that talk about chemtrails are talking about a global permanent effect on populations. But I think what Brent is getting at right now is if you were doing a small scale, if there were chemtrails just over this one city in this one area to have this one effect, that you could do so without a massive conspiracy that tons of people need to know about. You would need a handful of planes and a much smaller volume of chemicals.
And you would need to fly over everywhere and everybody see the trails. Like, it just wouldn't, you wouldn't need to do that.
I'm just fighting the small battle argument, not the war with you guys. I
understand.
I'm just saying, like, if I can win you guys over to say that, okay, these chemicals exist, they're showing up in the environment, biologists all over, scientists, neurosurgeons, pilots, retired pilots, FBI, former FBI agents, I have all kinds of stuff from these guys talking and speaking out about things that are found and are public, historical events from British and other governments, whether they're making those claims or not separately, that those things have all existed. And if you can accept that, and if the technology of a 50-gallon drum and a mist in the back of a plane.
We've already accepted that the cloud seeding is there.
And the cloud seeding happens, that it could potentially happen on a larger scale. Exists at least.
But so cloud seeding isn't a chemtrail, though. They're dropping a chemical. You're not seeing an actual trail. It's not all over the place. They're doing it in a small area.
Well, the cloud seeding is they're flying through and dispersing material into a cloud.
But you're not necessarily seeing the material.
You're putting clouds in clouds. You're
above the cloud.
It's still a chemtrail,
dropping
though.
Into a cloud.
It's still a chemtrail, though.
A chemtrail is the thing you can see that people are looking at. That's what they're saying is the chemtrail.
You admit that chemtrails are things you can see. I got you.
Well, it would be. That's what everybody's saying it is. I mean, so I think if it's possible, if it's happening, they would do it in a small, inconspicuous area to try and see what they could do to modify whatever they're trying to modify. And there's tons of places in the world where there is no people inhibiting the area.
But maybe part of their thing is to see what effect it has on the population, physically, medically. They've done tests on people. They give people syphilis. They've done all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, and controlled like towns and stuff. The same thing with the ticks that we talked about.
Welcome to Bakersfield, man.
Certain thing, yeah. The positive ions.
They'd be crop dusting this, man. You don't even know.
I'll stab you right now.
They're crop dusting Bakersfield. Welcome to town.
Yeah.
Controlled experiment, Bakersfield.
So, Jason, you're a liar. That's what we've come to.
No. He just can't talk about it. So tell us more about what you can't talk about. So he's that's kind of crazy. You went from mechanic to radio operator, though. That's like, hey, man, you know how to use this radio thing over here? I know you got a wrench, but go over here and operate this thing. Is that common in the military to switch?
It is. Yeah it's, changing jobs is sometimes they even encourage it. But I just kind of got sick of the whole mechanic thing. I was just ready to do something different. And as an air crew member, you get a lot more privileges, get to do a lot more traveling. And I've seen almost every country in the world doing what I do now.
That's really cool.
So it's been amazing. But and never have I dispensed chemicals in the air ever.
I don't know. You withheld information earlier. I don't know if you can be trusted.
Yeah, according to Brent, you don't know what you're doing.
Apparently not.
Not everybody knows. There's pay grade, man.
There is, but it's still so many people would have to be involved in this. That's going back to that argument. It's just there's no way they could keep a lid on this. I admit that the government could potentially be doing experiments with like 1, 2, 3, or 4 airplanes, but they're not doing it on a large level at all.
After that statement, commercial airliners. You admit that 4 airplanes could be spraying chemtrails.
Like Brent's going
that's
for the small stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I'll win the small battle.
Nobody knows. Like you can't say no.
But I want to know what he thinks because he's our expert.
The government could be doing anything behind our backs. We have no idea. It's conceivably possible that they have 4 airplanes that nobody else knows about that are doing this.
So if they wanted to build 4 more next year and have 8, that's possible too.
Here we go.
That's all I'm saying. I digress.
4. 4 is the max.
4 is the max. Yeah. Dave wants to say something, I feel totally satisfied right now with my victory over the Air Force.
Victory?
Go ahead. Yes. Victory
is mine. I'm not sure if that was
wow.
It doesn't matter because I'm happy about it. So I feel like a small victory. I'm happy.
A small victory.
You don't care what I do in my house.
The thing is, I would say there are planes that are dispersing chemicals into the atmosphere.
My second victory of the day.
However, I don't believe there are global conspiracy-based chemtrails designed to change our behavior, make us sterile, alter solar radiation on a global level, Illuminati horseshit. Like, I don't buy that at all.
And
I don't feel that
there's some like...
That's true, because I can't stop having fucking kids.
I don't feel like they're maniacally trying to put aluminum in your lungs, right? I don't feel that either.
And even the aluminum thing. I have a pretty quick answer for why there might be so much fucking aluminum in the air.
Pepsi didn't have a trash can big enough. It's called China.
It's called no regulations for any. I mean, there are so many nations in the world that have no environmental regulations and they're just churning shit into the air and into the seas. I don't need a fleet of airplanes to explain why there's a bunch of aluminum everywhere. It's just fucking everywhere.
There you go, scientists.
I don't know if you burn material if aluminum floats up. I believe it falls down. I don't know that you can float it up, but we'd have to look into that. So
neither does diesel soot, but they want to say that it's hurting the atmosphere.
I don't know.
They do.
I don't know. They're not metal in diesel, though.
How do you know?
I haven't tested it. I guess I don't know.
Neither do I.
My favorite other part of the chemtrail thing was actually a bill called HR 2977, which is the Space Preservation Act of 2001. I forget the name. A fairly big senator was one of the proponents.
It was Congressman Dennis Kucinich.
Dennis Kucinich. And a lot of conspiracy theorists point to this as additional evidence to a government-wide chemtrail, kind of the mass scale situation, because in it, the point of HR 2977 was to prohibit weapons in space, including chemtrails, as one of the exotic weapons that needed to be banned. So this bill specifically mentions exotic weapons in space needing to be banned. It specifically mentions chemtrails as one that needs to be banned, but it also mentions extraterrestrial weapons and tectonic weapons. And I don't think we have those either. The bill didn't pass, but I think they were just like, okay, so what else would come from space that we need to cover? Aliens, extraterrestrial weapons. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And tectonic weapons, which would be a weapon that can cause earthquakes a la Dr. Evil. So this is a very strange act. I didn't get a chance to read it in its entirety, but I know it does mention chemtrails as a weapon, but it also mentions extraterrestrial weapons and tectonic weapons. So I think you have to kind of lump them all together and assume if one of them exists, then they all do.
Good. Well, I don't know. You believe in aliens? You're scared of alien grays like no other. You must believe there's some chance they're going to get you.
I don't believe that the U.S. government has extraterrestrial or tectonic weapons.
But do you believe in aliens?
Yes.
So do you think that those aliens could possibly have weapons?
Yes.
So you believe that alien weapons could exist?
Yes.
There you go. So chemtrails are real.
I stop there. I don't think
chemtrails are real. Well, no, you can't fucking stop there. You need one more question, which is, do aliens with weapons actually come to Earth? No.
That's your opinion. Mm-hmm. They could be here. I don't believe it either, but
there are aliens.
If aliens
they
exist,
do have weapons. Yep. Right. They are not on Earth.
They come from the south and north. And east and west.
Those are illegal aliens, Brad, and that's inappropriate.
And they have weapons.
You're hurting feelings all over. Someone's feelings are hurt right now.
Yep, I don't care.
Not mine.
Yep. Jason, I'll have Jason fly over him with a chemtrail. Kill him.
Let's shut him up real quick.
Yep.
Real quick.
Turn him into a toxic Avenger.
That could have been one crazy congressman I know talking about aliens and stuff, but he was clearly intelligent enough to get elected and jump through the hoops. I don't know.
That means they're all crazy. Yeah. That means absolutely nothing. I think everybody's stupid.
Jason, you look worn out. Did we wear you out? Did we break you?
Maybe. I think it's starting to get
He's gonna unenlist it was a tomorrow. Trap.
It's the chemtrails have made me docile and just accepting.
That was the fluoride in your toothpaste this morning, sir.
You're dying.
That's what it was.
Well, we have anything else? Anybody's last words before we die from the chemicals in the air?
No.
I just want to say I was never angry at anybody at this table or on Skype.
I'm fucking pissed. Brent's not on the show.
It seemed like
no
it
more.
Got very heated. You know?
Nah.
That's the most serious I've ever heard you
That's
before.
A debate, not an argument. Yeah. That's a difference.
We like fighting. Yeah. So, well, you want to shout out your stuff again, Jason?
Sure. Yeah, just Project VCR, the Bench of Cinema Review podcast. Go listen to that. We're on iTunes, and we've also got the website, projectvcr.com. And Higher Standards, if you play Magic the Gathering, check us out. Also on iTunes. And that's about it.
Thank you for your service to this country, sir. And no harm taken, hopefully, from my aggressive debate towards you.
Yeah, thanks for your service and dropping chemicals all over us.
I have one quick question on closing, though, Jason. Do you still have You Ruined My Record, Man, I Just Bought It on Tape anywhere?
I still have the video that you and I made of us acting out that skit.
I was hoping that had burned somewhere. I shouldn't have brought
it up. It's a gay porn.
I probably have a mullet with a perm in that video. Do I have a mullet with a perm?
I haven't watched it in a long time, but
I'm
going
to have to say, in this video, Jason is spanking me over the bed.
See?
You're not far off.
We reversed roles. You got me too.
We acted out. It was Cheech and Chong's like comedy skit from a record they had.
Earache my eye.
Oh, man. I was hoping that had been lost long ago.
It was Cheech and Chong's, and they changed their names to Ding and Dong.
Well, if you have any way of encoding that and making it digital, you could let me know where I could get that in a Google Drive share or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I still have just like the old Hi-8 camcorder cassette. Ooh. I don't know how I can possibly transfer that.
Yeah, I have no idea how that could happen. I know Digital Creations doesn't know how to do that.
Yeah, all you'd have to do is mail it here, and our sponsor Digital Creations.
Go for it. Maybe it gets lost in the mail. That'd be cool. Maybe the plane goes down.
Oh, or somebody gets it and watches it. And they're like, "What the fuck is this?" Yeah. Oh my God! Who's this white guy with Jerry curls and Let Your Soul Glow?
We do have a new sponsor this week. I don't know any of the social networking. I just realized in my mad rants of maybe Brad will look it up while I'm talking.
What is it? It's well, who is it?
That Beard Stuff.
Oh, yeah.
A new beard sponsor. So That Beard Stuff, they make beard balm, mustache wax, beard oil, combs, coffee cups, t-shirts, accessories. They are locally at our farmers markets and multiple barber shops. I am wearing it right now, and that's why Dave keeps giving me the eye of the tiger from the side. I noticed it a couple times during the episode. My fragrant pine and almond oil scent was wafting his way. I read the ingredients. It seems to be vegan. I thought about that after accepting this as a sponsor, but it seems safe. I didn't see any what's the oil you're worried about? It's a
emu oil.
Kangaroo. I did not see that oil listed. And you'd be glad to know that I am allergic to almonds, but almond oil did not make my face break out or my ears itch. So apparently if you're allergic to almonds, it seems safe that you could still use it.
Well, I can give you their Facebook. It's facebook.com/beardoilandbalm.
Yeah. So
that would be that. And they also have an Etsy page. So if you search for That Beard Stuff on Etsy, you can find them on there, and we will get their appropriate
Shout outs
to them.
Jason
on the next
can't
episode.
Use it till retirement. He's not allowed to have facial hair.
Yeah, I see
some
there.
Years to go still.
I see some there. You just haven't shaved. You had a hard night of drinking last night.
Looks like you could grow a decent beard though, better than mine. Well, mine's see through.
Oh, I, I could. I really could, but yeah, we're not allowed. So
it's too bad. So also Digital Creations for creating all of our coffee mugs, t-shirts. Somebody just got a hoodie. So thank you, Digital Creations. They're on Facebook. They're about to have a website. That's in the works. Also, our newest sponsor
is
El Yucateco Hot Sauce, which we're big time now. We're famous.
Yeah, you can take that and put it in your butt.
Or in the front, and it'll still come out that way.
Yeah,
it's delicious going in and hot coming out, but I don't mind. It's worth the pain. So
I hope they're not listening. Hey, nah. This podcast is going to mention us for the first time as a Spencer up straight up the butt.
Yep. Hey, they're a hot sauce company. They're well aware. I mean,
you've never laid on your back, put your legs between your head, and just like seen what you could fit in your butt.
I sent them a link to our podcast description and links to episodes. They know what they got into, but all they care is that we love us, or that we love us and we love them.
And so, don't put it on the hole of your penis either, because it burns.
Now he stepped it up now to maybe we lost the sponsor. But they did send us a whole bunch of swag and prizes. So we got some koozies, we got sunglasses, hat, t-shirt, every sauce they have, stickers. They sent us all kinds of cool stuff. So we're going to give those out. I don't know. Did we pick anyone to win anything? Not Andrew Stevens, because that guy apparently hates the world. I'm just kidding. I like him. I don't know if I like
him. I liked him because he kills babies.
Yeah. But check out El Yucateco. If it's not available at your local grocery store, you can probably get it from the website.
I got to give my campaign manager, Mike Money, something else. I guess I owe him stuff.
Gets one hot sauce.
Oh, that's good.
There we go.
There you go.
All right. So Mike Money wins some hot sauce for some reason. Yep.
And I won't put it on my penis.
And if you can't find it at your grocery store, Jason, we'll send you some. We're going to get it seed the El Yucateco in New Jersey. Get the party started over there.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait to put some in my butt.
Jeez. Wait, what? All right. Dave. Well, that's it for another episode of the Sofa King podcast. You can find out more of what we can fit in our butt on the next episode. Don't be a retard. Scared of a bunch of water, then get out the rain. Order a rapper for lunch and spit out the chain. Then kick a lungy off the tip of his timbo and trick a honey dip into a game of strip limbo. Odd, he couldn't find no remorse. A wink is as good as a nod to a blind horse. Of course, his technique was from a divine source. Never knew the price of ice or what swine cost. One guy tried to bite the heat. It's when he discovered the other white meat. Oh, the one they hate so well. He sure keeps his cycle like the old Bates Motel. They came to ask him for at least some new tracks, but only got confronted by the beast with two backs. Knock, Mouse is a made man. Villain laid it down like the best laid plan. Bell the cat, who the hell is that near the middle? Got y'all, but it's not all barren skittles. Prepare the vittles, got riddles and spittles. Crystal clear to the jot or the tittle. It's hot off the griddle. Came to take the cake, whether there's a lot or a little. Kaboom, doom is nervous large. You could tell by his blooming room service charge. Dark and tall to boot. The only thing was wrong is he was bald as a coot. Used to ran a van from Peter Pan to Red and Tan. And keep the human foot for his dead man's hand. This was when the mask was brand spanking new. Before it got rusted, drinking all the brew.